In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus had compassion on the crowd come out to hear him, and he acts on it. He has compassion on them, and he has compassion on us. God did not send his Son to die in vain, nor merely for our spiritual future good. He sent him to redeem us, to make us his children, now. Notice how much this pericope looks like the church's divine service. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was preaching the kingdom in the wilderness, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Give this to them. This bread satisfies those in the wilderness." In the same way also, he took a few small fish, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Give this to them." So they did. They took the 7 loaves and the few small fish, blessed by the Lord, which showed no outward change, and they gave them piece by piece to the 4,000. And like Elijah's flour, it never ran out. Every time they reached to the paten, there was more. There was plenty of bread and of fish, more than enough for 4,000 to eat and be satisfied in the wilderness. The disciples gathered up the fragments afterwards and filled 7 large baskets. For you can never contain Jesus' bounty. His mercy and generosity are far greater than your actual needs, as is his love far greater than your sins. Having fed the multitude, Jesus then lifts his hands over them and says, "Depart in peace." He sends them away back to the world, to home and to neighbor, as he continues on the road prepared for him in the wilderness by his camel hair covered and locust eating cousin. He goes from wild place to wild place, with no place to lay his head, until he lays it down outside the gates of Jerusalem. No one provides for him, but he will give himself as bread to satisfy the souls of men. This is the Jesus both you and these people have come to hear, to listen to his word, to be in his presence. They're so caught up in this that they've forgotten their physical needs. And he doesn't exaggerate. If he sends them away without feeding them, some will likely die. They don't have the strength for the walk back to the green places. So also the disciples answer correctly in their rhetorical question. There is no way to feed this crowd in that desolate place. Even if there were a bakery, a field full of wheat, or even a Walmart, it wouldn't be enough to feed this number of people. Go right now to Walmart and try to buy 1,000 loaves of bread at once. Can't be done. But Jesus does this on purpose. It's an act of compassion. He exposes their need. They've come to hear him, and that's good. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They have no bread, but they do have what they came for, Jesus and his word. They live, even as they're dying. They can't help themselves, but he is their help and their food. Notice that Jesus doesn't chastise them for foolishly forgetting their physical needs. Rather, he responds with compassion. They've come for his word, and he loves them in their need. He simply has them all sit down. Though the place is desolate and barren, and they are poor and weak, they partake of a banquet as though they were kings, as the holy apostles wait upon them. No man could feed 4,000 people in the desert. But Jesus not only can, he does. What's less obvious is that no man can feed even one person, even himself, in the city or on the farm, without the Lord. Our mothers rightly taught us to pray before eating for this very reason. Praying before eating isn't commanded by God in the Bible, but it is a very good custom. To neglect it is at least arrogance. Jesus gave thanks before he fed the crowd. He also gave thanks at the institution of the sacrament, before he fed the 12 with his immortal flesh hidden in mortality and bread. It is necessary for us to confess and give thanks to God that he provides what we need for this body and life, and that without him we would have nothing and indeed be destroyed, even as it's necessary that we confess that if he had not redeemed us by his sacrifice on the cross, none of it would matter. So we pause before we eat. We recognize that the food we need, he gives, and we thank him for it. Now, as you might expect, some question or deny the Lord's miracles. Some even say that the point of this miracle and that of the 5,000 was sharing. They don't think Jesus actually multiplied bread and fish, but that when the crowd saw the boy's generosity, they were moved to share from what they'd hidden. They'd been selfish, but Jesus taught them to be nice. This denies the plain words of Scripture, which show that Jesus wasn't seeking to teach them or to behave to be better people, but that he simply desired to serve them in their need. Not only does this deny Scripture, but it turns the gospel on its head and makes Jesus' primary purpose not to redeem and forgive us, but simply to guide us into higher morality. Obviously, sharing isn't a bad thing in and of itself, but Jesus' compassion is far greater than that. Heaven does not help those who can help themselves. He helps the helpless. Thus, he has them sit down and be waited upon. Part of the problem, of course, is that many don't believe the Bible is inspired and inerrant. Some think Christ is simply a great man, but only a man and not God. They don't think he has the power to perform miracles and that he's nothing more than a moral teacher. This must be confronted and refuted. The Bible is inspired and inerrant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man who redeems us by his death and resurrection and has ascended as man and God to his Father's right hand. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So maybe we need to better define the purpose of the miracles. Many pious Christians think their primary purpose is to prove that Jesus is true God, which of course is most certainly true. However, Jesus isn't here trying to prove anything in the feeding of the 4,000. His purpose isn't even to get the crowds to worship him or to be nicer to one another. Those things happen. But his purpose is to provide for their need. He has compassion on them, and he acts upon it. The miracles do show us his divinity. Through his word, the Spirit causes us to believe and to worship and to live out our faith toward our neighbors. Let there be no doubt about that. The miracles, however, do more than that. They show us the character of the Christ. His mercy endures forever. He comes in peace to restore creation and us to his Father. He overcomes death and the devil for us. The miracles show us the kind of God who lays down his life to make us his, the kind who has compassion on the hungry, the lame, and the downtrodden. Jesus is compassionate and kind. He looks upon us with his mercy. Our crosses and hardships, our pain and sorrow, are not signs of his wrath and distance. They're his loving chastisements, which draw us closer to him, which focus our reliance ever more firmly and solely on Him. Let this world's pain and disappointments send you running to the God who is constant in His love and keeps His promises. Let this world's many judgments and the law's accusations make you eager, desperate even, for the good news of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ and the promise of the last day. May your daily hunger make you hungry for what the Lord gives, His righteousness, and for what He promises, life with Him, that you never become satisfied and want to stay in your cities, but are always ready and willing to follow Him in His death, even if it is to your death. That is, be dissatisfied with this life, aware that it's a desolate place, and be ready to give it up for His sake. Until the final summons, find constant solace and comfort in the divine service, where Christ Himself is present for you, in His word and in His actual body and blood, where He causes us to sit down and be waited upon. Here He speaks words of chastisement and accusation and instruction. He also speaks the life-giving words of the gospel, His compassion for you, forgiving you anew and bringing you back to Himself. Find nourishment and satisfaction, a green place in the midst of desolation, where Jesus Himself takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives you His own risen body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The sacrament of the altar is the miraculous feeding of His church. Jesus receives and eats with sinners. And in Him, sinners eat and feast without money or cost. Come, O sinner, and receive the multiplication of grace in the Holy Sacrament, hidden under the bread that is only fit for those who have nothing to give. Jesus prepares it for you, and His mercy endureth forever. In Jesus' name, amen.